Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be starting this week off with, I believe, information that for you, as we're coming into spring, as we are actually in spring according to the calendar, even though the weather may show it otherwise, we are in spring, and what a time of the year to really grab hold of what it is you want to examine about your life, what you want to do with it, and maybe have some tools to do it with. And that's what my guest is going to be sharing with us today. Steve Ulsher is my guest. His book is Journey to You, a step-by-step guide to becoming who you were born to be. Steve, welcome to the show. Hello, Steve, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me or no?
Well, I can hear you. You're sounding a little strange on the phone line, but I was concerned. I thought, oh, my goodness, I hope you didn't get
right.
lost in
no,
the
shuffle. No, I am here. I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. I'm very, very glad. Steve, you're a man that has quite an eclectic background. You owned your own nightclub at the age of 20, and it was called the Funky Pickle, which I think is a hoot. You developed a wine and spirits catalog business. You launched one of the very first full functional e-commerce websites, and that was done in 1995. You founded a company called Bold Development, and it's one of Chicago's real estate development companies. You call it a boutique real estate investment company. And you decided you wanted to put this workshop together called the Reinvention Workshop. With your unique background, you bring a lot of flavor to the term entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You have a quote in your book, "You can't hire someone else to do your push-ups for you to create your ideal life. You must be willing to do the work." Tell us a little bit about some of the lessons that you went through as an entrepreneur that enabled you to compile this workbook for people to utilize.
Sure, and just to kind of clarify on that statement, that's actually a quote from Jim Rohn. I would be remiss if I tried to claim one of Jim Rohn's quotes, but yes, that is definitely in the book there. But you know, from my standpoint, the background, the history, everything that I've gone through really has led me to where I am today, and there's no doubt about that, and certainly it's what I expound in the workshops and the books and everything else that I do, and I believe that everyone is exactly where they're supposed to be at this moment in their lives for a very specific reason. My background as an entrepreneur has just given me a very unique slant, a very unique perspective that I am able to bring to my audience both through the written word and through speaking and also through the workshops. And I got to tell you, if nothing more, what I certainly learned and what I carry with me as my mantra is that there really is no such thing as failure. And failure is one of these terms of ignorance that weak-minded people throw around really in an attempt to bring down those who dare to soar. And it came to me at a very young age that if you try something and it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that you are a failure. It simply means that you tried something, and for whatever reason, it just didn't come to fruition in the way that you planned it. And so I really lived my life by that mantra, and also by the mantra that if I want to do something and I'm hell-bent on doing it and I have a gut feeling for doing it, there's got to be a reason why that's taking place. And I know for a fact now, and looking back in my life, that I certainly teach this to young kids and those who are reinventing their life as well, but really when you look back on your life, you will always regret failing to act than taking action and realizing what others might term as failure. And so these are two very important lessons that I learned early on and certainly use as fuel to propel me towards the next endeavor.
Now, in your book, you go into the four stages of learning. And I enjoyed this perception because I thought it was a very astute one. The first step, or the first stage, is unconscious incompetence. The second stage is conscious incompetence. The third stage, conscious competence. And the fourth stage, unconscious competence. Now, we all know what incompetence is, and we all know what competence is. Why did you say unconscious incompetence versus the conscious competence?
Yeah, and so what you're talking about is my adaptation of Dr. Thomas Gordon's four stages of learning. And I really like his teachings, and the book in and of itself does combine a lot of the ancient wisdom with a lot of modern-day thinking, and Dr. Thomas Gordon is one of the more modern-day theorists that I quote in the book, but his work is not really written for sort of everyday speak. And so what I did is adapted that, what he calls the conscious competence learning stages model, into a couple of exercises that really help people become clear on not only where they lag in their life and try to find some of those danger zones that might exist, but more importantly, where they really excel in their lives so that they can focus on that work and focus on what comes most naturally to them moving forward. And when you're looking at the four stages of learning, yes, the stage one is unconscious incompetence. Some people call that your blind spot. Some people say it's your BS. I mean, it can be whatever you want to call it, but it's certainly areas of your life that affect you in very profound ways, and you really don't recognize that these are areas of your life that you react very instantaneously, very instinctually. It's almost as if something happens, a trigger, which might be A, and you react in B fashion, and you can't do anything about it. Same thing with why you may excel in certain areas of your life is just certain things come very naturally and freely to you, but until that really becomes awakened within you, you don't have the ability to say, wow, this is something that I do really, really well, and I should focus more of my efforts on it. So the first two exercises, the vortex of vulnerability, which helps you really understand where you lag in your life, and the vortex of invincibility, that really help you understand where you excel in your life, help bring to light these areas that, frankly, are just operating on autopilot.
So many of us do operate on autopilot, and we're not awake enough to realize what we're doing. We get into certain patternings, and until something in the way of a trauma or maybe somebody getting in our face, then we go, whoa. Okay, so I can think of someone right off the bat. This was a person that was always late. They were atrocious. They could have had a visit with the President of the United States, and they would have been late. Well, one day, they had an individual that they had a meeting scheduled with. They were like an hour and a half late, and when they got to this meeting, this person gave them a verbal dressing up and down like you wouldn't believe. The primary comment that caught this person's attention was, if you do not value my time, then why should I value yours? Now, this was a habit pattern this person had, and that aha jolted them out of it. They did almost like a 180-degree shift, not quite, but almost. And it's amazing how things like that have to happen sometimes before we go, ooh, okay, I can't get away with this anymore.
Yeah, and there are certainly different triggers for different people, no doubt. And it's amazing to me how things that are obvious to the rest of the world can become very difficult for you personally to see. And so I absolutely encourage people to enroll those in their closest circle to help them understand where it is that they're wired to excel, and also understand where it is that they just may lag and or have issues that, frankly, they may not even be aware of.
I think we're all in a positioning at one time or another to experience that very thing. And the truth is, it may not have a priority with us, where socially or professionally or in some other capacity, it may be very important, like this individual I was mentioning to you. it may be very important to other persons. So there are always going to be those lessons we have to grow through. Nobody ever gets through this life without them. You make a comment in your book saying, while imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, replicating actions and embodying the character traits, those two words, character traits of those you admire, is simply brilliant. Now, someone might hear that and go, oh, yes? Well, what if someone is really of a very unpleasant patterning of character? Emulating that character would not be so positive. But what you're coming through in your words, as I believe you're being, they're being expressed here, if you have someone that represents the best to you, they represent what you admire, what you would like to express yourself, looking at what their character traits are, honesty, integrity, perseverance, resilience, maybe a way of speaking that you like, or a way of action. You think of powerful people like Martin Luther King or Mother Teresa, people that are out there in life that really made a statement. They walked their walk. They just didn't talk the talk. They walked the walk as well. That is very significant.
It is. It is. And so, you know, the idea here, as with any subject that you may have an interest in, is just to try to find people that can help you shorten that learning curve, because there are people who have created the wheel. All you have to do is get that wheel and just paint it a different color.
Very good point. You talk in here about the pinnacle, and there's a quote by Sir James Allen, "Man is made or unmade by himself. By the right choice, he ascends as a being of power, intelligence, and love in the Lord of his own thoughts. He holds the key to every situation." What would you say to someone that would come back to you with a remark, "I can't control everything that I think. I can't control every response that I have"? How would you respond to that individual?
Well, first of all, I would say that they should be very, very thankful that they have such a strong will and strong mentality, because too often people just kind of go by the windsock mentality, where things happen and they just kind of blow this way, and things happen and they just kind of blow that way. And someone like you were describing is very strong, whether they realize it or not. And so what I would encourage them to do is to recognize that strength, and recognize that if you don't have the ability to really control what happens to you in your opinion, then at least A, you're out in the world, you're doing things and things are happening, and B, if you don't have the ability to control what you say, well, then that means you're full of lots of opinions. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what I do encourage people to do who can't seem to really gain a grasp on how to best utilize their natural assets and how to best utilize their talents is to focus on one key area where they would like to improve and gain control in that one key area. Start there, because once you can see how the brain shifts and how you can begin to take control of the choices that you make and the things that you say, choose the area that's most important to you, and it bleeds into other areas of your life in very amazing ways. But you have to start with one key area in regaining control.
In your book, you have a chapter devoted specifically to the 7 life-altering principles. You call them takeaways. Talk about those 7 principles for a moment.
Sure. Well, I will start with principle number 1, which is the concept of YANO. And YANO is a sort of a fancy phrase, if you will, that I coined, which basically is short for yes, no. And so from my experience, I have found that there is, in fact, an exact moment of truth, which I call your YANO moment, where you can choose a fork in the road and one path, where you hit that fork in the road and you can choose the path that is most congruent with who you are and supports you on your journey to becoming who it is that you were born to be. The idea is, once you begin to get out of that state of, boy, I have no control, like your example earlier, and you begin to recognize when, in fact, you are faced with one of these yes-no moments, it's amazing how you can regain control of your time, of your energy, and of your results. And so what I encourage people to do is to really shift from the moment of that decision that they're facing to the potential ramifications and results of that choice. In other words, let's say you're offered, well, sex without a condom. Well, you may have that, you know, 1 or 2 minutes of fun, but obviously 9 months later down the road, you could also have, well, a little baby. So the idea is you really want to make that shift towards the ramifications of those decisions as opposed to just looking at the here and now. The idea really is you want the you of tomorrow to be able to look back and give thanks to the you of today.
Then you had another, one of your other principles was relating to you are who you are and what you are, and wherever you go, there you are. In fact, I think that was principle number 7. And I really think that that is a very important principle, because so many times people are waiting for the perfect something, or they've got to be this, do this, have it, sustain it, whatever it is that they've got to do in their minds, without realizing that if they don't invest in themselves, they are going to carry themselves around for as long as they live. And
yeah.
How they treat themselves, how they think, how they deal with life, all of this is something that they are responsible for, and they are going to be living. And if they're in an unhappy situation in one part of the world or life, well, I guarantee if you don't clean it up, if you don't take care of your messes, you're going to take it with you wherever you go.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that most people kind of get caught up in the feeling like, if I can change my environment, I can change my results. And too often, that's just not the case. I mean, certainly, if you're in a place that, you know, you were, let's say innately you were born to be a surfer and you live in, you know, in Greenland or something like that, well, you're not going to have a lot of opportunity to surf. And that may, in fact, be the case that changing the environment will change the results. But for the majority of people, whatever habits you have, whatever it is that formulates who you are as a person today, isn't going to change just because you change scenery or change wives or change houses or change husbands or change schools or whatever it might be. You're going to end up with the exact same result. So until you really have a clear understanding of who you are and why you do what you do, and more importantly, who you were born to be, everything else really just plays second fiddle, and you keep repeating the same mistakes that you've always made because, frankly, you don't know any better. So, yeah, it's crucially important to recognize that wherever you go, there you are, but you have the full ability, capability, and options of changing who you are today. It doesn't matter who you used to be yesterday. You can get yourself in a much different position today if you choose that route.
I agree. I like the story about your mom. You have a section in here called Pump It Up, and you've got to share that about your mother because I think it was really a great story.
You know, it's one of those funny stories that I didn't really think about until I put pen to paper and was writing this book here. But what you're talking about is we had a birthday party for my son a number of years back, and I think my mom was in her late 60s at the time. And it was at a place called Pump It Up, which is one of these fun jungle gym-like places where kids bounce around and do all this fun stuff. And there's a climbing wall there, and I had never climbed before, so I figured, hey, what the heck, let me give it a try. And my wife had never climbed before, so she figured, hey, what the heck, let her give it a try. And we both did it, and we had fun, especially just rappelling down from the top. It was just a new experience. And what you're referring to is a section in the book that's called Retrain Your Brain. And the idea here is just really you don't have to look at where you're at in terms of what you've done to that point as either limiting or enabling you to do something else from that point forward. I mean, certainly there's something to be said for experience, but what I encourage people to do is look at life as a blank slate. And so my mom, who had never climbed before, to my surprise, was up on the wall. And so I turned around, and there she was trying to climb this wall, and she had never done this before, and certainly in her late 60s, she could have easily chalked it up and just simply said, hey, you know, this is something I haven't done before. I don't know how to do it, and I don't really want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But she said, you know, I'm not going to let the lack of experience in my past blind me or prevent me from new opportunities and new options for fun. if you will, at this particular juncture. And sure enough, she made it about three-quarters of the way up the wall, but because she had on really business attire, I mean, she was in her suit and got up on that wall anyway with the cord and the whole thing, and didn't make it all the way up, but I think she broke down a lot of barriers with that climb. It's just one of those things where you look back and you go, you know what? I learned something from it. It was fun, and you can now have the choice down the road to either say, yeah, let me do that again, or no, I tried it, and it's really not my bag.
Well, what I liked is the fact that she was in her late 60s.
Yep.
So she's a good demonstration to someone of any age. Age doesn't matter. It's what are you willing to embrace so that you can break through your own personal glass ceilings.
Absolutely.
And I think I think that she's a great example. Now, there is a man you have a great deal of respect for. His name is Jack Welch. And you need to tell us why you have such a regard for this man. And how did he impress you, and why did he impress you so much?
He was really a game changer in so many ways as far as the corporate world is concerned. He was one of the first, well, let me get back up for a second. If you don't know who Jack Welch is, or was for that matter, though he's still alive, he was the chairman of General Electric for over two decades. I forget the exact dates at this moment, but he massively improved the company, massively increased the annual income for the company, the net revenue for the company, and put himself and that company in position to be the most valuable company in the world at the time when he was in office there as CEO. And just the way that he went about his business practices and took a whole new, well, game-changing approach to business is something that at the time was really looked at like, wow, you know, this guy might either be just out of his mind, or he's really on to something. And in hindsight, it was clear that he was certainly on to something. But when you have a company that is as big as General Electric is and certainly was at that time, it required really a paradigm shift in terms of how leaders treat their employees and how leaders look at their organization from a multinational corporation perspective. And he implemented a few very interesting initiatives that really just, I look back on now and go, wow, I mean, this guy was really at the top of the food chart. And one of them that I've adapted, and this whole book is really taking a number of different ideas from various people throughout the world and adapting them in ways that can really help you support you on your journey to becoming who you were born to be. And so I took I took one of his business initiatives, which was something called the Vitality Curve. And what the Vitality Curve was the metrics that he was able to use to be able to delineate between those that really were just at the top of the line insofar as his managers were concerned, those that were really just in the middle of the road, and those that represented the bottom, sort of the worst performers that they had on their team. And so what he did was because it was impossible to really handhold and visit all of these different locations and all of these different companies, he created this metric so that he could evaluate who was on the squad that was performing exceptionally well. And the idea is that he put his managers into these three groups. The people at the top were retained and rewarded. The people in the middle were encouraged to either make your way to the top or were pushed down to the bottom, and those people on the bottom had to go. And like you said, I mean, sometimes you make mistakes, but really it's necessary to take a look at what's going on in the organization and make some hard choices. Well, I encourage people to do the same thing and created a valid vitality curve for people to use on a personal level. And the vitality curve basically gives you the opportunity to look at your life and the different areas of your life, from friends and family to work to spirituality to hobbies, your avocation, etc., and look at the activities within those different categories and say, hey, this is what I most enjoy about this area of my life. This is what I can somewhat tolerate. And this at the bottom is what has to go. And it's amazing what ends up in the bottom rung there that affects you on a daily basis, activities that you engage in almost every single day, show up there. And so you can imagine how you feel about life if you're consistently taking on activities that, frankly, bring you no satisfaction, no peace or joy. And so the idea is, let's try to get as much of your life as possible into that top 10% there, and push everything else by the wayside. I realize that's not always possible, but it's certainly a good idea, certainly a good initiative to really stack up your life and look at how much of your time you're spending on things you enjoy and how much you're spending on things you loathe.
You have a quote in your book by Philip Brooks, who is a clergyman and author, and he was born in the 1800s. He said, "The ideal life is in our blood and never will be still. Sad will be the day for any man when he becomes contented with the thoughts he is thinking and the deeds he is doing, where there is not forever beating at the doors of his soul some great desire to do something larger, which he knows he was meant and made to do." I think that is a beautiful way of expressing live life. Reach out for opportunities. Reach out for that which you maybe have always wanted to explore but didn't, maybe because you didn't have the time, the money, or you just thought it was frivolous, it wasn't worth doing, and you may end up finding the passion that really is yours. Lots of times people reach phases in their life where, like now, we are in a very depressed economy. We are in a very difficult space that many people are having to tread water in. They're scared, they're frightened, and yet right in front of them there may be that very opportunity that they can grasp that can totally transform their lives.
Yeah, that quote is the entry quote to the section about becoming who you were born to be. And it is all about identifying what I call your what. So the question is, what is your what? What is the one thing that your soul is compelled to do? And I strongly believe, and my experience shows, that each of us has one amazing thing that we were put on this earth to do. And once you're able to identify what your what is, everything else falls into place. And so I love that quote from Philip Brooks. And it is really all about just pursuing that which you know in your heart of hearts you were meant and made to do. Whether or not you're in denial about that is a whole different story. But I think for each of us that exists, and that certainly is the focus of my work, is helping people how to identify that.
Well, your book, Journey to You, is a very good demonstration. And, Steve, what is the website that people can go to find out more about you, your workshop, and the information on this book?
Sure. So the website is steveolsher.com. That's S-T-E-V-E-O-L-S like Sam, H-E-R.com. But I'll even go a step further because I'm serious about this work. It's my life passion, and I really want people to discover what it is that they're meant to do. And so if people send me an email to steve@steveolsher.com, I'll send the first three people a free copy of the book, and it's my honor to do so.
Wow. Okay. For those of you listening, take down his email, steve@steveolsher, and that's OLSHER.com. A free book. The first three that send that email, and you're right on the computer right now, steve@steveolsher.com. Also, you can go to his website, steveolsher.com. And again, that last name is OLSHER. Steve, it's been a delight having you as a guest. I wish you the very best in everything that you do, and thank you. We were able to weather it with a cell phone, and that is awesome.
Donna, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Again, thank you for being with me, Steve. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. More good things to share. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, He's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call into our toll-free worldwide number, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. Now, quickly, I do want to remind those of you in the Pacific Northwest, this coming Saturday, the Emerald Spiral Expo is going to be going on in Kent, Washington, at the Kent Commons facility. It's a beautiful location. We've got a psychic expo that's going on there. It's always so much fun to participate in it. It's totally oriented towards the family. Come on out. Have a fabulous day. And stop by and say hello. I'm going to have a plethora of books. I have a booth there. And I will be doing many consultations. So that's the Emerald Spiral Expo. Check it out at emeraldspiral.com. Look forward to seeing you there. By the way, I'm going to share with you a honey-glazed pork roast recipe. And so make sure you have a pad of paper and pen handy, because if we're able to get that in today, we will. Also, I have a little bit of information on our spring horoscope. Yes, yes, yes. So I'll be sharing some of that with you. Before I do that, I do want to let you know what's coming up tomorrow. We're going to be talking with Keith Maitland, and this is going to be out of Australia. You are good enough. Live in the positive five keys. Keith is really a lot of fun. He's been sending me some emails, and he's going to be sharing some very good ideas with you. And we are going to also be talking with Susan Harmon on Wednesday, as well as the NASA conspiracies. Now, Susan is associated with the Emerald Spiral Expo. She's going to be on later on in the show on Wednesday. But the NASA conspiracies, Nick Redfern has done some fascinating investigation with that. So we will find out a little bit about that. Then Julie Balk came up with a fascinating title with her book. It's Stop Peeing on Your Shoes. Aha! You're going to have to find out about that. It has to do with finding work. And then Miraculous Moments, Elisa Al Chakochny. She is a woman that has done hospice work for years. And the stories of real-life experiences of people as they're ready to pass over, and the miracles that maybe they've experienced, well, those miraculous moments, we're going to be talking about this Friday. So I hope you can join me. And again, Telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. For those of you that might be new to the broadcast, all I need is your first name or your initial. And sit back and relax and let me tell you what I perceive for you as an individual. I don't know about the rest of you, but I love my dishwasher. Yes, I do. I just love to use that machine. And I can remember the argument. I'll never forget a very good friend. Let me backstep for just a minute. I used to tell my best friend about how I really loved my dishwasher. This was a few years ago. Well, she said, not me. I prefer washing my own dishes. I ask her, are you nuts? Why in the world are you going to want to get dishpan hands, and if you've got a machine that can do it better than you can, why? Well, apparently her husband had this attitude that it was a waste of money, and even though they had a dishwasher, she'd use it for a storage area because her husband wasn't in favor of it. Well, she ended up having to work a lot of hours, and before you know it, she started using that dishwasher. Boy, was she grateful for it. Well, I have some interesting information about the machines and how they've changed and how they're really good for saving money, time, and energy. Let's take our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, Donna. This is Megan calling from California.
Sunshiny California, I bet.
It's a little cold today, but it's okay.
Okay, now you've got to tell me what's cold in California. I was born and raised here, and cold in California is a heat wave for us up here.
59.
How much?
For me, that's cold.
59? 59, 5'9". Yes,
you
would need to put on your long johns. That's true. Where are you, Megan, in California?
It's okay.
Where are you in California, dear? Southern California or Northern California?
Yeah, Southern, in San Diego.
Ooh, yes, and you're right there by the ocean. Ooh, yeah. This is the time of the year for those cooler temps. San Diego, I just loved. Of course, I lived there for so many years, not just in San Diego, but in other areas of California.
That's
so
great.
I'm a California girl originally. Yeah, so I'm very familiar with it. San Diego
at all.
Is gorgeous. Oh, yeah, it's just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Well, let's get down to business with you, Megan. The first thing I am looking at is the big word patience. You have done a very nice job this year so far at prioritizing things, and you need to pat yourself on the back for it because typically you scatter in a number of different directions. You will multitask to such a degree that sometimes you're just utterly exhausted. And you're really not getting everything done the way you want. So you have been doing what I think is a wonderful job of getting rid of that serious multitasking hang-up, and you've been more focused, and so you're getting better results. They're not coming as fast as you want them, but it's working. And that's even including your food patterns, because apparently you've been very, very upset with certain food patterns that you have. So you're saying, okay, I'm going to do one little tiny thing at a time. Congratulations. Every time you're able to pass up that Snickers bar or something the equivalent thereof, you're really doing a good job. So stop beating yourself up. You don't need to do that, hon. You're really doing a good job. Now, I want you to realize is that if you maintain this focus that you have, you maintain this focus, you are then going to be able to move forward with a lot more efficiency and get a lot done by the time June 16th comes into play.
Ooh.
So hold true. Hold true. You're taking a lot of little tiny baby steps to get little things done, but it's going to end up clearing your way, and you're going to go, son of a gun, look at what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll be on to another project. But you're learning new disciplines, and I think you're doing a terrific job. Just be patient, because it's the little tiny steps of consistency that make for the long-term results. What would you like to ask me today?
I totally understand what you're saying. Totally understand, and thank you for validation. But what am I calling? I am calling about selling a home in the process of putting it in order, and an inspector coming through the house and wanting us to put it in order. The buyer still wants to purchase the house, even though we have to change a few things. And I just want to know, is all of this going to work out?
Absolutely. Keep on keeping on. You've got someone already that wants the house. So every time you do something, remember I said it's a lot of tiny steps.
Yeah.
You need to look at it and say, I'm so grateful that I have a buyer, and you need to keep the buyer informed, saying, well, we are doing this, and this is what's taking the time. They're going to sit there and say, I'm not in a hurry. I can wait. Because they're ready to move in
too.
As soon as you get everything up to par. I would make sure, if you had to hire somebody to come in and help you make everything super spectacular, spectacularly immaculate. So when they walk into this place, they go, whoa, I don't have to do a thing. Thank you. Then you smile all the way to the bank.
So it's going to pan out, and we're going to find a new place. Everything's just going to work out magically.
It's not magic, dear. It's action properly placed and followed through appropriately.
Okay.
So don't nitpick over the wrong things.
Okay.
And if you can put stuff in storage and get as much out of your house as possible so that it's all packed up and ready to go, so that when the time comes, those papers are signed, and everything's ready to go, then you can say, we're out of here. Boom!
Yeah, and actually that's what we've been doing. It's just that the next 2 weeks it might sell, and if that's the case, we just need to make sure that we have another place to stay. And right now, we haven't figured that out, even though we probably will.
I wouldn't worry about it. You just go ahead. It's a team effort here, and everybody participates, period.
Okay. That's been my whole slogan for the week, so I'm just going to take that as a sign that I need to just keep thinking about teamwork, teamwork, teamwork.
Absolutely. You don't have to do it all.
Gotcha.
But it's the organization. You are very, very welcome. And thank you for calling in. And you have a fabulous time while you're going through this process. I know it's stressful, but go yahoo. Do you know how many people are waiting to get their places sold? You've got a buyer sitting and waiting.
I know it could be much worse, so I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to...
Oh, heavens, no. Complain.
You
are you kidding? Are you kidding me? No way.
No.
All right, hon. You're blessed. You just go for it. Enjoy the journey.
Thanks a lot, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. Have a fabulous day. This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Let's go to our next caller. Oh, excuse me. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Donna?
Yes.
Hi, it's Pat in Connecticut. I want to tell you we had snow today.
You can keep it. I don't want it.
No, thank you.
You can have it. That's perfectly all right.
Okay.
Very
might even get more this week, so I guess I'll keep it here.
Well, we got rid of our snow. Thank you very much. We have crocuses blooming like crazy. The cherry blossom trees are just spectacularly gorgeous, and we've got lilies coming up. We've got rhododendrons that are blooming, and even though we're having not quite freezing temperatures at night, we're getting scads and scads of rain, which everything loves it. Nature loves it all, except the people that are walking around with the umbrellas necessarily. But it's just gorgeous. We are going to have a spectacular blossoming cycle here, and when the sun comes out for maybe 5 or 6 hours, then we go woohoo, and then we see everything grow 2 or 3 inches. They're just as excited as we are. So it's
and where are you?
Well, I'm in the Pacific Northwest in the Seattle area.
Oh, my favorite, one of my favorite places. Well, you certainly deserve it, and you're way ahead of us.
I know. I talked to someone in Boston, and they just said, it's been the pits here this year because we've had so much snow and ice and that type of thing. So I know your spring will be beautiful, too. Barb, did you have a question for me today? Because if you do, I wanted to say, stay on the line. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back shortly.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be back shortly and talk to Barbara. You can give a call, too, at 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone to call into is 888-815-9756. We were chatting with Pat before I went on break. Okay, Pat, what's your question?
Well, I have an urgent question, at least in my mind. I feel like my mechanic has put me off over a concern for at least a year, and now that it's finally been checked out, it may be a job that would cost $500, but he has twice put in a sealant in my oil to try and sort of fix it. I mean, if it seals, then it could go on. I could be fine for a couple of years. But it's still leaking, and my gut is saying, take care of this. I don't know why he's still putting me off, but I'd like to know if you can help me with this decision.
Yes, get a different mechanic. Get an estimate on it. Yes, ma'am, get a different mechanic. I think you need to find out if that's the only thing that's going wrong. I believe you've got two or three parts that are worn out, and you're going to need to replace them. But what I would encourage you to do is find a certified mechanic, check with some of your friends, find out what they or who they go to, and say, I have a challenge here. I'd like to have your opinion. Even if you have to pay them a few dollars to make the estimate on it, but you want to find out what it is. Because you need to get the information from someone else, not just take his word for it. That it is a seal, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. But there's other things that are going on, too. And it wouldn't make sense just to do the one repair without being aware of the others as well. So whatever this is related to, what I'm getting is you've got two or three other issues that go along with it. So instead of nickel and diming it, you want to get a full evaluation and estimate. You want to know the nitty-gritty. It would be better for you to take care of two or three parts that are going to be in need of replacement. You've gotten by so far. Now you know that it's no longer something you want to fool around with. So it's worth the investment. It's worth getting the thing repaired. But get a second opinion.
It's worth the investment in my car?
Yes. You don't you don't want to have a $300 a month car payment. That's not where you are.
No, exactly.
So you have to look at your bigger picture. You have to, if nothing else, sit down and really look at what the costs are.
My car will be in good shape if I get this fixed?
Yes.
Okay, and do I have time to get this estimate and so on?
Of course you do.
Okay, as far as
just
the car,
has to be a priority. Yeah, it's just a priority. You've got to make it a priority.
Oh, it is a priority. I just want to make sure I've got a week or two to get, estimate and work this out, that my car isn't going to die on me.
Well, it could easily die, but you could know in 2 or 3 days. You don't have to wait 2 weeks. You can go and have something checked out sooner rather than later. So don't procrastinate. Yeah. Take care of it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I was talking before we got to our first caller. This may sound a little ridiculous, but as I told you, I had this friend that wasn't using a dishwasher. She wouldn't believe me when I told her that when you use a dishwasher, you actually save energy. And this is a person that's really responsible about things. She's very conscientious. I've got another friend that she has the same idea. Nah, I don't use so much water when I'm doing things by hand. Nah, I don't do this, I don't do that. And I go, I'm sorry, but you are wrong. Well, there are studies that have shown that automatic dishwashers require less water and energy than washing by hand. Now, here are some points if you really want to get the best out of it. The time of day to do your dishwashing. Some utilities offer lower rates during off-peak hours. So if you have a timer on your dishwasher, set your timer to operate the dishwasher when your local power plant is really not in the peak cycle to send out energy. Stop and think about it. It's sometimes during the day, but usually when people are working, if they're going to do things, they do it in the evening. So maybe you can set your dishwasher once it's all full, set that timer so maybe it washes it at midnight. Then everything's nice and clean for you in the morning. Also, a full machine makes the best use of water and energy. Newer machines can sense partial loads, but it's best if you fill it up before you start. And I'll share a tip with you that a friend of mine had about dishwashers. She was married, she and her husband ate out a great deal, and so she wasn't operating her dishwasher, like, even once a week. Well, then the dishwasher had problems, and the serviceman asked her, how often do you use this? And she said, oh, well, I wash things by hand, and then I'll use this occasionally, maybe once or twice a month. And he said, believe it or not, when you use your dishwasher, it makes it more efficient. And he said, you see these different cycles on here? If you just want to rinse dishes, he said, you can just rinse them. But don't keep it just in the same mode all the time. You want to be sure that you change, like maybe you got super scrub, and maybe you've got regular washing on your machine, and others just a rinse cycle. So however you've got, there's so many different things that can be on dishwashers today. So if you make sure you alter that every once in a while, your electronic system will stay healthier for a longer period of time. And it will not break down as easily. And then also, your inner parts in the machine don't become a problem, like it did with my girlfriend. She ended up spending a small fortune in having her dishwasher fixed because she had not used it enough. So she learned. She just made sure maybe she would use it every other day, but she was using it, and she tried to use it when it was full. Also, there are different detergents that you can use. And I know here in the state of Washington, they've got very strict regulations regarding what can go into a dishwashing liquid or powder because they're concerned about what goes in to the water table. Well, there are eco-friendly detergents, and all of it is going to be very, very positive. And you need to try different ones because some are better than others. And forget this rinsing dishes before you put it in. That's just wasting water. Most of the washing machines, or the dishwashing machines, you just put the dishes in, and the food residue, you might just want to scrape it thoroughly if that's your preference. But a lot of these habits that we have of rinsing come from way back when you really need to do that, needed to do that. But I've known people even today, they've got all this new machinery that does such an efficient job, and yet they're still using a lot of extra water to rinse plates off. So just scrape them off, use a spatula, stick them in there, and let the machine do the work for you. And even, in the newer machines, they've got sensory systems to say how much of the material is on the dishes. I mean, I'm telling you, we live in a fascinating world. So that's just a little bit of trivia. Okay, I'm not going to be able to do it. Yes, I will. I'm going to start giving out the spring horoscope information, and I've got about a minute for Aries, and then I'll finish up the rest of the signs as we go through the week. Now, for the sign of Aries for spring 2011, do you know what? You've got star power to spare. Mm-hmm. You're going to attract all kinds of good things into your environment. Now, don't be surprised if there are some older individuals in your environment that may want to depend on you. You are going to have some wonderful opportunities to get a job, demonstrate the talents that you know are your greatest strengths, and you're also going to be in a mode for saving money. Really terrific. And you know what? You may find yourself doing some traveling. This month of March, you're going to have an opportunity to get out and about and take advantage of it, even if it's just a couple of days. Take advantage of having that break. Well, we're just about out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. My, the hour just went by like the wind. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You are your asset. Invest in yourself, and you'll find that your value just increases, both in self-confidence and self-esteem, and also in being appreciated by other people for giving your best. Donna Sebo here. We'll see you here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. We'll be back. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.